Alright, what's up everybody? This is Jopper Papa Pompeneza, aka the bad guy, with my co-host John DeMatt. Maz, how you doing, Maz?
Doing awesome today on this beautiful, sunny New Jersey spring day.
And today we have an amazing podcast planned. We have one of my favorite, most influential martial artists ever, Mr. Hoyler Gracie here with us today. How are you, sir?
That's good. This is a pleasure to be with you guys, man. I'm already coming prepared to save my neck. You know? You guys are not going to choke me out.
So, sir, we basically had a lot of questions for you. We're not going to take up too much of your time because we know you're busy constantly, you know, working and teaching. But we just want people to know real quick a general thing about you. First thing, what age and how did you get into jiu-jitsu? We know your background, but we want to introduce you to a bigger group of people that may not be as familiar with you. So how did you get into jiu-jitsu, and how has jiu-jitsu been such a huge part of yours and your family's life?
Well, I'm not sure 100% because I think as soon as my mom got pregnant, I already trained inside. I'm starting training jiu-jitsu for three years and a half, you know. I start to be in the match, kind of play, go back and forth, you know, play soccer like, you know, all the Brazilian guys, you know, they put the ball in the match and then we kick the ball and then you wear your gi, you know. And we realized right after, like 6 years old, the ball is gone and then we still wear the gi, you know. And then we start to be a little more mature, like 8, 9, 10 years old, and then you think everybody tapping your shoulder, say, hey, man, you got to be good. You keep training, you know. And then we enjoy, you know. That's being the academy. Everybody tell you, say, hey, you're strong, you're technical. And that's actually how I grow up and the family, you know. It's not only me, but everyone tell everybody, hey, you good. You can go. You can, you be able to, you know, to do the technique, and you're going to feel comfortable. It's always encourage you, you know, and that's it's amazing.
Now, I mean, we're huge jiu-jitsu fans. We've been practicing the art, obviously not as long as you, but I got to say, one of my favorite jiu-jitsu movies of all time was Choke. And your part in Choke is a smaller part. And for people who don't know what that is, it's a documentary on almost the beginning of Vale Tudo and mixed martial arts. How did it feel to be a part of, like, kind of the original, like, start of Vale Tudo and mixed martial arts on the global scene?
Well, it's amazing, you know. It's back then with the Hickson in Japan, you know, and all this stuff, like hoisting the first UFCs, you know. But before that, we already have a big history, you know. It's in Brazil. Like I say, we're born in Brazil. So people say, hey, it's a third world. Yeah, we're third world. And then over there, if you like to be good in Brazil, you need to kill a lion every day. And then you can prove you're good. It's different than the other country, you know. You do something for the sport, the people recognize you right away. It's a completely different, you know, where we're coming from. And that's the kind of thing. My father's back then is by himself and his brothers. They have a very, very hard time. And the people sometimes say, oh, jiu-jitsu is very popular. You guys, I mean, yeah, but they don't know how to be, what the point we got today, how hard it is, you know. My father tell us a lot of history about what happened before, you know, how's making jiu-jitsu grow up. And now we see everything everywhere, everybody training, you know. Don't go to MMA without jiu-jitsu, don't go, you know. That's amazing. Yeah,
your father is an amazing man. I mean, he literally put his life on the line for the sport, which most people don't know. I mean, he took on everybody and anybody that wanted it, and he never backed down. I think that's a testament of what jiu-jitsu really proves as an art.
Yeah, he say, you know, he make, in my opinion, is the big change in the martial art in the whole world. It caused a lot of impact. Today, everybody training jiu-jitsu and teaching jiu-jitsu is not only with the media, but it's making people feel comfortable, feel good, enjoy life. You know, it's a kind of lifestyle. And that's, I like how he put the jiu-jitsu in us life. And tell us, hey, it's not only a martial art, not a fight. It's something you can care for your rest of your life. It's unbelievable, you know.
Now, what do you think about jiu-jitsu becoming so popular? Like, I used to live in San Diego for a while, and I trained at a few different jiu-jitsu schools there. Do you think because it's becoming so popular that maybe the level of instruction kind of becomes like, not every school is a good quality school.
Well, it's my opinion, because jiu-jitsu is a very effective in all different situations. You know, you can be in the sport, you can use it for defense yourself, you can be an MMA, you know, as a vale tudo. And that's the kind of thing. It's open for a lot of different ways. If you like to only enjoy having a good time, go to the school, forget your bills, and it's amazing. You
just
know,
get a good workout,
you know,
in.
You can be the little kid, 3 years old, 4 years old, to the someone 8 years old. You still enjoy it. You know, it's not something, you know, you need to have a certain age to train and practice. And that's I think, is that how making jiu-jitsu grow up so fast and everybody be involved. Yep.
Now, you know, Mr. Gracie, you're actually always one of my heroes, because I'm a small guy. I'm 5'5", I weigh 150 pounds, and I would see you be fearless against these guys like Sakuraba, and you would not back down. Tell us, when you started, were you always the one most picked on by people in fights because of your stature and size?
Well, I think that's could be one thing. You know, you need to prove yourself all the time. You know, I remember one time me and Hickson was at the beach, and then the guy at Hickson said, "Well, you can pick one of us to fight." And then, of course, they're going to pick me. Hickson's much bigger than me. It's always the same. Oh, come on. You know, it's easy to pick the little guy. But it's one thing, you know, it's amazing. I believe in the technique, and that's given to us a lot of power. It's not even to be in the fight, but to get out from the fight. It's easy for me. I pay a lot of money to be in the fight. But the time I'm in the fight, I pay a lot of money to stay. And that's the kind of thing, you know. We love, we enjoy what we're doing.
So now, Mr. Gracie, here's a question that I have. Now, you guys started basically making this huge phenomenon movement with martial arts when you guys brought jiu-jitsu to America. Now, how many affiliates would you say your family has now throughout the whole United States?
Well, this is a kind of very hard question. Yeah. You know, Horium and his son, they have a big affiliation. I am myself is a Gracie Maita. We have a big association all over. We still have guys in New Jersey, like I say, with David Adiv. It's all over, you know, it's San Francisco and San Diego, anywhere. You have a Gracie Barra, they have a really big association. Well, it's just, all these guys, I have my, Royce have his affiliation, Hickson have his affiliation. As a Gracie Barra with my cousin, Carlos Grace, he have his own affiliation. Well, it's very hard to count, you know, everybody. I can guarantee to you, it's pretty much any state in the United States, we have a jiu-jitsu. It's maybe more than two or three, you know, school. Easy.
Now,
San Diego was one of the more popular places with the jiu-jitsu is in the whole world, you know. Actually, after Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. Yeah, everywhere you go, you got a school over there.
Do you open up schools in locations you like to go on vacation, so then that way you can go visit and
like
go on a nice vacation?
Like Dubai or Abu Dhabi?
Well, I love to go to Indonesia, man, Bali, and that's the kind of thing. We have one over there, which not, we don't have it for a kind of moment, you know, which is closed, but pretty soon we're going to reopen, I hope, you know. We have in Australia with Bruno Pano and Marcos Neville. That's an amazing place, too. I love to be in Australia, you know, visit the guys and train a little bit and surf, you know. That's my goal.
Now, Mr. Gracie, what's like a normal day in your life? What is a normal day from when you wake up to when you go to bed? You know, how many street fights do you get into?
No, like I said, I spend a lot of money to get out from the street fight, you know. It's kind of, you know, which jiu-jitsu we have, which make us very calm, you know, and relax, enjoy life. Well, my normal day is start around 7:30 in the morning, you know, take a light breakfast. And sometimes you have surf, I go surf. If I'm not trained or prepare for some fight, of course, if you prepare for the fight, it's a completely different. But normal day, sometimes I go surf in the morning. If you don't surf, I go run a little bit. I do lift some, make some workout, you know, like lift weight or something. And come back home, have a lunch, do some work in a computer, you know, do some close some seminars, can I say that? That's it's gonna be during the whole week, you know, and at the end of the day, I'd be in the academy every day. He's gonna at least roll a little bit, watch the guys, how they teach, how they do with the students, talk to the students. And then in the weekends, that's pretty much the time I travel, and then I teach my seminars. You know, pretty much Saturday to Sunday, I just visit these schools around the world. Pretty much, I mean, my base in San Diego, and then I just be in San Diego. If I try to go to Australia, I need to stay a little longer. It's kind of hard to be in a weekend. But yeah, that's my normal day.
Now, when you're training for a competition or you have a big event, like for most people that don't know, you just had probably one of the most exciting jiu-jitsu matches at Metamoris that I've seen in a long time. What was your training schedule like for such a huge event, huge competition like that?
Well, that's changed a little bit, you know. Well, because I start training, I wake up around 7:30, 8 o'clock. As I do a cross training 3 times a week. The other 2 days, I run a little bit in the morning, back home, eat, and I take a little nap, rest, you know, watch TV a little bit, and go back to the gym, do some techniques, and rest a little bit, eat something, and go back again in the night to do the rolls. Yeah, it's for 40 minutes, 30 minutes. You know, it's all, every session is between 1 hour, let's say, it's 30 minutes and 1 hour, you know, no more than that, you know. I need to rest, man. The rest is a very, very good training, you know, especially my age right now. I'm not a young anymore. You know, it's back then we trained 4 times a day. It's crazy, go back and forth everywhere. Now it's try to train 2 and 3 times maximum, and then the short time, you know, not too long. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, we know very popular is the Gracie diet. Would you say you adhere to the Gracie diet for when you have competitions or in general life?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I just love to do as a watermelon and banana and cream cheese, you know, papaya with cream cheese and honey.
Yeah, I seen that on YouTube. Yeah. That's like you make your smoothie every morning.
Yeah, I just do. Sometimes I make only watermelon juice and I make a sandwich with bread and white cheese. You know, it's nice. Which is kind of a lot of combination. We actually, Brazil, it's easy because it's, you know, the fruit's right there. It's fresh, you know. Here, sometimes we're having a hard time to pick it up something, but we still have everything, you know. It's not that hard.
So are you saying you drink a lot of the stereotypical acai and sambazan and all that, or that's
Oh, yeah, man. Acai boots. That's my favorite.
That's what we got right here.
Look what we got right here.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
So when you're training your academy and when you're training for some of these bigger events, you have to have a room full of tough guys. How many black belts do you have at your academy now?
Well, we have a few guys, you know. And then this last event, for example, me and Zach fight. And Zach fight with the gi, I fight without the gi. And then he helped me a lot. It's kind of 25 years younger than me, you know. But it's kind of good help. And in the beginning, I suffer a lot in his hands because he's young and fast and, you know, he's really good, very technical. And then I start to getting better and better. I feel more comfortable in the end, you know. I don't know, is it the same speed or the same endurance, but I'm much more comfortable in the end. And it's not only him. We have Regis. We have a Johnny. We have Fabricio Moran. All these guys here in San Diego, we have a lot of guys at black belt. You know, we have a Leticia, you know, running the school too. You know, it's easy for me to pick what I want. If the guy's a little heavy, we still have guys heavy. If we kind of light, you know, same weight, we can always adjust.
Now, you mentioned that you're getting older now. First, so far, our listeners could know. How old are you currently, sir?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I apologize. Now, you mentioned several times that you're getting older. So I just want our listeners to know, how old are you currently, sir?
I'm 48. It's going to be 15 in the next year. Yeah.
So now that you're getting older, how has your training of jiu-jitsu changed? I mean, I know when you were younger, you were saying you're training 3-4 hours, multiple sessions. How do you train for longevity now?
Well, first of all, you can hurt yourself because, you know, if you hurt yourself, it's going to take a little longer to recover. You need to be careful. And then you need to know who you're training. You know, now is the time for me to enjoy training. I don't like to be a world champion anymore. I don't like to be a Pan American champion and Abu Dhabi champion. I just enjoy the training. Of course, if we have some specific training like I do right now, is a bit specific training for Metamoris, is everything changing my life. I need to stop what I do and focus in a competition. It's a completely different.
Now, you've always been a huge name in the sport. I mean, your family and their name too as well. Do you think the recent Meta Morris kind of like is giving you an even bigger jump with like the younger generation? Because that match to me with Eddie was, as a fan of jiu-jitsu, was huge. Like, everybody outside the jiu-jitsu community was talking about it as well.
Well, I think is a this match is make a big contribution for the peoples. It's a young people. It's a new guys for old guys, for everyone come and train, enjoy jiu-jitsu. And sometimes the people go in the tournament, they watch the tournament and then touch the head, turn the face, and say, oh my God, this is jiu-jitsu. I don't understand nothing. I don't see action. And the time they see the fight like this, make everything change. You know, everyone can do and at any age. And that's make, I think, is a good contribution because bring a lot of people back. And the people say, oh my God, it's unbelievable. It's amazing, you know. I have a guy, a friend of mine, he said, hey man, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to believe. Me and my wife watch, and she never watched jiu-jitsu. And she jumped from the chair, and she's so excited. Oh, my God. You know, it's kind of crazy. And that's what I like to see. I think this is a big contribution for the people see in a different way. And a Meta Morris is it's not a regular tournament. We're not talking about the points. I hear some people talk, so what about if it's a point? If it's not a point, if it's a point, the fight is going to be completely different. Is it no point? I think I can take a risk. It's easy for me to take a risk and for him and make a big show. And that's the mentality for the competition guys. They don't have it too much. They don't like to take a, I don't like to lose for half point. But we're not talking about. We're talking about tap or not tap. Mm-hmm. And then it's a completely different time. It's not 10 minutes, a regular match. It's 20 minutes. You can do whatever you want. If you don't like to take a risk and put your butt on the floor and sit and wait all 20 minutes, I can do that. I can guarantee to you I can fight with everyone and play, you know, back up. Because in the end of the day, they look at me like, say, oh, man, that's a really bad fight. Well, I'm not taking a risk. We fight for the point. It's a completely different. And that's I tried. I like the fight because we changed the mentality. It makes people understand, hey, that's the mentality. Hey, take a risk, move forward, keep going. It doesn't matter, you catch, but not, I'm escaping. And okay, I sweep, I do, and that's supposed to be.
I agree 100%. So you love the submission only. You love the time frame of 20 minutes. If you can change anything about the rules, what would you tell Halleck that you want to change about the tournament rules? Is there anything that you'd like to see different?
Well, I'm not the owner in the event, you know, as a first. And then I'm not the judge. I'm not be able to judge nothing. And I'm just going to, the guy both go there and try to do my best and make the show good for the spectator. But, yeah, and this is a different type of tournament. You know, I don't think it's we're going to be like this all the time. I don't think so. People need to compete in a regular tournament and the points and the time limit. And then, but this one is a special. That's only for the best guys in the world.
Oh, I agree.
And that's
100%.
The time the guys, they walk in, they supposed to put us a good show. Don't be afraid and go back and sit and, oh, I'm not going to lose for half point. That's not a point. This is not about, you know.
Now, will we be seeing you again competing in another show coming up, or do you think you're going to take a little break? Because I every time you compete, I get so excited. You know, I think you have a ton of fans out there that just want to keep seeing you go on. Because like you said, you're 48, but you're an inspiration to so many.
Well, thank you very much. Well, but I'm not thinking about this right now. It's everything is possible, you know. And everyone have a priority in life. And then I'm not different. I believe his head is not different. You know, if one day they can put back again, we're going to be beautiful. But I need to stop a lot of things. And that's the people sometimes they don't understand. Oh, hey, Carla, go ahead, fight for a T-shirt and it's short. it's not a time for that anymore. You know, I'm not a kind of guy like 21 years old, competing all the competition and don't worry about nothing. I'm, you know, I have a family, I have daughters, I have a house to take care of. it's a completely different. And then I have a job. Today, I travel a lot. And pretty much for now to the end of the year, I'm a booking with the seminars. And then for me to stop, I need to make sure, you know, I got something. Is and it... that's all about. Yes, I can do it. I love to do it again, but I'm not have this in mind right now. I just try to relax, enjoy, yeah.
Is it worth it to financially to take the time off from doing your seminars or running the school to train for a big match and have that payout for the big match? Like, does that work out for you?
Yeah, it's work for everyone. But we need to match a little bit. It's make sure. We're not going to change it 100 for 20.
Yeah.
I already have 100. We're not going to change 100. That's what I'm saying, you know. And that's the, they don't understand the time we come with the numbers, we start talking about. And besides this, I need to stop my whole life. I really enjoy to compete. Like everybody else being the best guys in the world. But you guys need to understand, you know, the time you in the different level, you in the different mood, with the different kind of perception in life, people need to respect that.
Now, what we wanted to ask you real quick, you know, what match in your out of all your fights or jiu-jitsu competitions, what was the most important to you? Which was the one that really meant the most to you?
For me, in my fights?
Yeah.
Well, the time I got the 3 times Abu Dhabi, is the last one is with Soka, is nice, you know, it's 3 times in something, and the road is kind of very important, one of the best grappler tournament in the world. That's just the one. The one and the 4 times world champion with the Léo Vieira, that's just one is kind of very important. This is 4 titles in the road. I consider my fight with Sakuraba is a very, very tough fight. You know, it's one thing I don't agree to how they stop the fight because I don't tap. And they decide for me, is this adult, you know, it's not a kid anymore. And then I never see this in MMA fight. The referee stop for you, you know, let the guy break the arm, let the guy. And anyways, they stop the fight. I suffer a lot in the fight. And then for maybe 30 seconds, they stop the fight. And I don't understand. Actually, I understand, but we're not going to talk about this. But anyways.
We can just say referees in Japan.
Yeah.
It's not only that, man. It's a lot of politics. You know, they try to force the other member in the family to fight with Sakuraba. And then Sakuraba's draw with a little guy like me, it's not a good for the whole event. You know, I can say this is a lot of politics. But anyways, I'm concerned all my fights are very important. I don't care who's on the other side of the line. I'm always training. I'm focused. I never try to say, oh, these guys, I don't know. You know, if you don't know the guy, and that's making me feel a little more scared because you don't know what's coming. You know, it's happened with me sometimes, but I try to be prepared in all different angles.
Now, for folks that don't know, maybe who are some of your up-and-coming guys at your academy? Like, who are you prepping now to kind of make it into the big time for either in the jiu-jitsu or the mixed martial arts world?
Well, every school have your guy, you know. We have one guy is from JW. He's going to go to Abu Dhabi this year. He's got amazing jiu-jitsu. He's a big guy. We have a Zach Maxwell, you know, from San Diego. He's a student with the Regis. And we have a few guys. It's hard for me to remember the name. We have a new generation, the little guys. I was in La Mesa yesterday. And then I see a couple guys, man, this guy's so good, you know, he's 15 years old. It's amazing how they train, how they it's smooth, you know. I speak with Morango, Fabricio Morango and Leticia in National Cities at school. They have a few guys over there. It's everywhere, you know. These guys, it's someone's in New Jersey with David too, you know, in San Francisco. It's everywhere. It's not only from my school, but I can see these in all different sets. Sometimes I teach a seminar somewhere, and then I can feel how the guy's so smooth and he trains. So I'm like, this guy's good. You know, easy to see this. Yeah.
Now, when you're not training, how many days a week are you surfing? Is that's what I got to know.
Whoa. Well, if you have waves, if I be able to go, I go up, you know, pretty much during the week, whatever I have a chance, you know. But it's, you know, sometimes I got some business, some stuff to do, I can go. But if I be able to do 2-3 times a week, 4 times a week, I can go, yep.
Are you down at Ocean Beach with all the rest of the Brazilians?
I've been Sunset Cliff and Windy City. That's my spot here. And Blacks, too.
I love Blacks Beach.
Yeah.
Not for the guys, for the though.
So now, here's a question that I know we both, me and Maz have been kind of avoiding going into it because we're having such a great talk, but we need to know, and I know people want to know, what happened with the controversy of this last competition? Because anybody who knows you knows you're an amazing person, you're a stand-up person, and we're hearing negativity being brought up, and we want to dispel any negative rumors because, again, you are somebody we all look up to, and we just want to get rid of these negative things being said on the internet. So what started this whole controversy from this last event?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. It's very hard to make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. You know, and the people, sometimes the champions, the people expect more and more. It's another day, I have a friend of mine, he's talking to someone on the internet, and the guy say a lot of bad things to him, and he's go discuss with the guy. And then in the end, the guy say, well, I'm going to try to see the fight. And the guy say, man, you don't even see the fight. And then you talk a lot of bad things. And you know, it's hard to talk to someone, hide his face behind the computer. And I see the comments, but I don't pay attention with this. You know, it makes me feel bad. But what I going to do? It's your opinion. You know, I let the people talk. You know, it's bad that sometimes it's coming for someone they have as a more mature, and then they know what they're talking about. And that's just a bad. But, well, it's your opinion. What are you going
to
do?
I agree. I think if you talk to real jiu-jitsu practitioners, anybody you talk to will say, that was a great fight. That was an awesome fight. And there's nobody that's like, oh, this guy sucks or that guy sucks.
Well, we have maybe 50 guys in the internet. They throw a lot of bad things, you know. But one more time, it's kind of hard to control these guys. And then these guys, they sit behind the computer. They don't even know martial art. They don't train. They don't have a face, you know. It's kind of easy to say something. Anyways, I really like the match. I watched the match in the YouTube after. And then I really like the matches go back and forth, you know, as people's talking about this. I saw a lot of people say, oh, if he's a point... Say, hey, come on, man. If he's a point, the fight's going to be different. Mm-hmm. If he's 30 minutes, I say, oh, if he's 30 minutes, it's going to be different. You know, oh, if he's 5 minutes, everyone is kind of coming with kind of, you know, something in mind and always try to do, oh, if it's hard, you know, because that's the fight and that's the program, you know, we need to follow the rules.
Now, would you say after that there's still animosity or any odd feelings between you and Eddie Bravo, or have things kind of died down between that whole...
Well, I never have a problem with Eddie Bravo. Actually, I have one problem with him, and then I talk to him. You need to ask him. I don't think he likes to talking about. But this is between me and him. It's nothing to do with the sport. What he do and how he present himself in the fight, it's amazing. You know, we're both professional, and that's supposed to be. I'm not hating him the time I fight with him. And that's a little wish I have. I already talked to him, and it's kind of something he knows. But this is not interfere how he acted, how he trained, how good he is. You know, it's a completely different. He need to follow his life and keep going. Yep.
I got
to
agree with you. Both of you guys, despite, you know, whatever might go on behind the scenes, on camera in front of each other, you guys were the epitome of true professionals and true athletes.
Absolutely.
And that's supposed to be, man. You know, it's a professional. You know, I don't think he's mad with me with something. I never say nothing bad with him. You know, I just kind of, you know, I try to follow my father, you know. You know, it's be professional, behave, be, you know, respect. And that's what I try to do. And then I hope he have the same way to me, you know, the time coming back, you know. And then he pretty much do this, you know. That's how I feel all the time, I see all the time, you know.
I agree.
So now, we don't want to take too much more of your time, sir. Just want to see, would you like to give out any shout-outs to friends, family, sponsors, anything like that?
Well, I hope everyone's done training. Go back to the academy training. The ones already stopped, go back and train. Bring the kids, you know. Make sure it's every time you try to find a school, and maybe you can have a bad experience someone, but try to find a school, you know, you enjoy having a good time, you know, make some friends, you know, make some jokes, you know, people's relax, enjoy life, man. That's all jiu-jitsu about, you know. It's not, of course, someone's like to be a world champion, and this guy's going to train a separate, but it's jiu-jitsu for everybody, for, like, say, 4 years old to 8 years old, everyone can train. Enjoy life, guys.
It's funny because I started jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai at the same time, and now I'm basically retired from Muay Thai competition. And after having you on here, I'm like, okay, I'm putting the gi back on.
Well, you know what? I'm just talking about jiu-jitsu because that's my main thing. I love jiu-jitsu, but I'm saying everyone training the martial art, anyone is a boxing, karate, everything. Man, go back and train it. This is make you feel much better, you know, a better person. This help you to the, you know, the life.
Absolutely. And we have one more thing that we do at the end of our, at the end of all of our interviews. We ask one random question each, and it's completely random. We don't think about it. So it may be the most ridiculous question you ever heard. So are you ready for it, sir?
Let's get it on.
Okay, so I'll start first. Out of all the women in the world, what is your favorite type of woman? What ethnicity?
My wife.
Good answer. Good answer.
Okay, if you were single. No, I'm just kidding.
What? If I'm single? The Brazilian woman.
There you go. We just, you know, we want to say
all the Brazilians. I'm sorry. I know all the Brazilians. They have your character. You know, they're all beautiful. It's something intelligent. You know, nice talk. You know, that's just, you know, it's make you feel comfortable. Yeah. But my wife is always, man. Yeah.
I have a question. When your daughter is old enough to date and she brings her first boyfriend or guy friend to your house, what are you gonna say to him?
Man, I have a lot of guns here. And all the magazines fill it up. My daughter's already old, man. The old one is 27, 26, 23, and 16. The 16 is the one burned the house. It still burned the house here with me, you know.
So are they all married? Because I'm currently going to be single soon.
Okay. Well, I hope they're not gonna thinking about to be married because, like I said, I have a lot of bullets in a lover. I'm a nice daddy.
Well, we just want to thank you so much for your time because this was an interview that I was just dying to have done, and you made it possible. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, my pleasure. I hope you guys enjoy having a good time. And next time you'll be in San Diego, stop by. Make sure, tell me before I can have a time to prepare my neck.
See you guys soon.
Hoyler, when are you going to come and do a seminar in New Jersey?
Probably in the end of the year. The cold station, you know, it's a cold time.
That's when we train outside.
Probably in November. I was going to put in the website. It's www.hoylergrace.com or graceumaita.com. You can check it out.